Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. What Mother's Day could be complete without a reading of Proverbs 31? And as we read this, you're going to think, this is so idealized that no one could live up to what is written here concerning women. Don't think that. If you're a born-again believer and you're a woman, you're already here. And when we walk in the Spirit, this is an apt description. What does God want out of mothers? Well, let's take a look here in chapter 31, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and so she will rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not of the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us, and Lord, encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. So once again, we would look at this and say, no one could ever live up to this. There's never been anybody that could answer to every word in the passage of Scripture that we've read. And yet Paul tells us in the New Testament that those that are born again believers, in our new man, we are perfect before the Lord. We live up to every good thing and every good work, which is why Paul encourages us constantly to walk in the Spirit that will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And when ladies walk in the Spirit, these things are true. Every lady that's a born-again believer lives this four square. Let's consider a few of these verses here, and I think we'll see what the Lord considers that's good and valuable in women and mothers. He starts off in verse number 10 with this question: who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Young men certainly waste their time looking for so many different things in women other than what really counts and what's really important, because virtue is the crowning glory of any human being, any person. And that's why this passage opens up with this statement, who can find a virtuous woman? Anyone that finds a born-again woman, well, he's making a good, solid bet that before it's all said and done, this is going to be true. The thing of it is when we're young, we can idealize things, but then when things don't turn out the way that we expect they should turn out, we're disappointed. And the truth of the matter is, if we'll think it through, if we're born-again believers, we're really disappointed in God. He didn't make everything to happen the way that we thought it should in the particular time frame that we thought that he should do it. We must remember that sanctification is a process that begins with the new birth, and it continues on until we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so, we could find those that aren't virtuous in the beginning, but as time goes by, all of these qualities begin to come out. And that's why the scripture says in verse number 10, her price is far above rubies. And in verse number 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Look what's going on in the world. Wars and rumors of wars, fighting, a lot of it economically motivated, as we're seeing going on before our very eyes now. I wonder if the reason for that is that the heart of their husbands are not safely trusting in their wife and family, so they have all sorts of time for mischief and create troubles for others. Because the scripture said, her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. His joy is made complete by his mate, and without her, there's a part of him missing, and that part of him that's missing goes out and starts all sorts of trouble in the world, because he can't look to his own family and see that his own family is more important than anything else in all the creation. They're more precious to him. His wife is more precious to him than any sort of gain or spoil. Verse number 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. And so now we've entered into this of how this virtuous woman actually keeps her household. And a woman that keeps a household like this, her husband is completely consumed with her and his family and has no time for anything else, for any sort of mischief. Does this happen immediately? No. Even though we might be born-again believers when we're young, we're still not far enough along in the process of sanctification. And so our hope is in what the Lord says, not in what we see immediately before our eyes. What we are today is not what we will be tomorrow, because of the influence of the Holy Spirit and the influence of that new creation. And so these things start to come about as time goes on, because they're not natural to the lost person. None of these things that we're going to read in this portion of Scripture come naturally to the lost. They cannot, because the soul is completely depraved from the Garden of Eden. Verse number 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out at night. And so she seeks to provide for her family, and she's very diligent about doing so. That leaves very little time to seek mischief outside the home. And in verse number 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good. Is he talking about here things that she physically makes? No, I don't think so, because after the colon we read, her candle goeth not out by night. She always knows who she is. She always knows that she's in the economy of the Lord. And so when things go wrong in life, she doesn't abandon those things. The hope that she has in Christ outweighs all of the vicissitudes of life, and there are plenty of those. And so her faith always shines forth and never goes out. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. I don't think the scripture is actually talking about the fact that the fancy clothes make the man or the fancy clothes make the woman. I think what is being said here with his clothes being of scarlet, that nobility shines through all in her household because they're all trained in the way of the Lord. And so when others look, they see there's virtue in all of her household because of the things that she has done. Sometimes we think that the so-called leaders that we have politically are making all of the decisions that count. And I think probably today a lot of us are worried that the person that presently occupies the White House is going to get us into a nuclear shooting war with Russia. And so, therefore, he's the one that ought to have all the attention focused on him. That particular individual is the product of a very bad upbringing. It's a crime family. It's never been anything other than that. He is what he is because he's a product of what his mother trained him to be. And so rather than lament what he's doing there, maybe we should look at the fact that the hand that rocks the cradle really does rule the world. And so what's being said here is important. And in verse number 23, because of this, her husband is known in the gates where he sitteth among the elders of the land. Somebody that has a wife like this and a family like this is not very much concerned with what anybody else thinks. And that's a wonderful freedom, to be free from peer pressure. Not to worry about how many likes you get online. Not to be so distressed by the dislikes that you get online. Those that come out of a family that's like what's being described here, this husband cares not what anybody thinks of him other than the Lord and his family. And when we get to a place of security like that, we've reached an enviable state in this world. Verse number 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She makes fine linen, fine twined white linen. I wonder if this really talks about the actual weaving of cloth, or perhaps the influence that she has on those of her household, those that are around her. A virtuous woman's price is far above rubies. Why is that? Because if our children are the most important thing that we have in life, if our spouse is the most important thing that we have in life, that ought to be the place that we make the greatest investments. I think it's the same here. A virtuous woman is calling to virtue from everyone in her household and everyone that's around her. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. wouldn't it be something if our current occupant of the White House had had a family that taught him wisdom? You know, there's a lot more to life than the grift and the squeeze that you can take from other people. That's only to fill a void that's there that has not been filled by a proper and godly upbringing. That's not a good thing. And this woman opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. When you look at politics, wouldn't it be something if statesmen treated one another with kindness? Firmness, of course, but kindness. A kind word turns away wrath. It had solved so many of the problems of the world. And where does that come from? It comes from the household in which we are raised. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praiseth her. Does this sound like the American family that we see going on around us in the world today? Children suing their parents for this or that, demeaning them constantly in their speech. What about husbands and wives? All we read about is the divorces and the ugliness in the relationship between men and women today. But if they'd been raised in a household like this, what would the difference be? Her children would arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also praiseth her. Maybe it'd be a good thing for husbands to learn that lesson. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so now, as we close this passage of Scripture, it ends this way. There's a lesson here. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. It disappears as the years go by, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That gets only stronger as the years go by, as our faith grows. And so, once again, we shouldn't look at this as an idealized thing that's completely unattainable in the world of women and men. It's not, because we are these things in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we have that sort of an impetus in our family to live up to these things. Will we ever do it perfectly? No, because we're never entirely sanctified in this life. We all have something that we do well. We all have areas in our lives that are more pleasing to the Lord than other areas in our lives. But that shouldn't cause us to despair. We shouldn't look at what we just read and said, well, we right now have to live up to each and every one of these things, because we can't. There's always areas in our lives that the Holy Spirit is working on, and precept upon precept and line upon line, He's changing those things. And so, in my view, we should look at what we just read this morning as the finished product, not what we are at any particular point in time, but what we are before the Lord as He sees us. For the Lord sees us as a completed project. He sees us as we will be, not as we are in the process of time. And if we could see ourselves in that way, I think we'd relax a lot more. I think that we'd be a lot happier in the Lord. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do.